This podcast does not constitute medical advice. All changes surrounding medications, diet, and exercise should be made in consultation with a professional who can assess your unique health circumstances.
Welcome to the Pattison Program, where you'll learn how to improve your health from the inside out. And now, your host, Clint Pattison.
My guest today has a wonderful story to share about not just overcoming symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis, but how she's turned it into a profession. She's now a yoga teacher, and also her and her husband have started a Whole Foods vegan cafe. So her whole life has been turned around by getting a diagnosis, working on her health, and then her whole push forward and direction in life because of that particular disease. So she's certainly turned a bad situation into a positive one, and then empowering one, and then inspiring one. So Brooke, all the way from Newcastle in Australia, thank you for coming on this episode.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, I know I've got some weird lighting around me. That's because it's a little after 7 o'clock at night here. You've got some nice natural light.
Yeah.
And we took some while to get this set up, didn't we? We ummed and ahed about it for a little while.
Yes, I'm quite the reluctant podcaster. So this story is not something that I've shared with many people. My immediate family and a few close friends are aware of that I was diagnosed with RA, and that's something that I've been managing for a few years now. But yeah, this is very much out of my comfort zone doing this interview, but I'm going to give it my best shot and hopefully, yeah, be able to help someone who's in this situation or being in this situation.
Yeah, and I think that that's a testament to how well you've done. If so few people knew you actually had the diagnosis and knew that you had the symptoms, then obviously you've done a good job in managing it throughout the, you know, 5 or so years you've had the symptoms. So we'll get into that in a minute. But first, I want to share a short story about how this came about. How I met your husband. First of all, I was at Brisbane Airport, which is in Queensland in Australia, and I was up there for a conference or something. And I just ordered a green smoothie from a new cafe at the airport, and really good quality green smoothie too, which you don't get too much at airports. And so I must have been off in my own little world, like staring at my green smoothie and sipping on it. And I was walking past this man, and he goes, "Clint," and I turned around, and I didn't know who he was, and he introduced himself. His name was Ben, and he said, "My wife has rheumatoid arthritis. She's done your program, and now we're both vegan, and we started this cafe, and now blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, slow down." I said, this is quite the story. And so and then over the last few months, we've connected, and now you're on here to tell us maybe a little bit more detail about what he mentioned. And encourage other people to turn these really challenging situations into a positive direction in life. So before we get into the cafe and all the things that you're doing along that way, you were going through some really tough times with rheumatoid at one point after the birth of your second child. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed 1 week, and the following week found out I was pregnant with my second child. And the RA was very, I guess, very mild at that time, and it wasn't really causing me a lot of problems. I'd have pain in one area one day and it'd basically be gone the next. And I wasn't too concerned about having been diagnosed with it because I didn't know much about it. And it, like I said, it wasn't giving me too much grief. And then after my daughter was born, I think she was around 4 or 6 weeks old, and I woke up one day and it had hit me like a ton of bricks. I was struggling to walk. I had no movement in my hands. So my hands were just frozen, and I was in heaps of pain. And it kind of took me a couple of hours in the morning of sort of shuffling around the house to be able to kind of get going for the day. So the pain was like nothing I had experienced, and it was everywhere, like hips, jaw, every joint I had pain in. And if I didn't have it one day, it would be there the next. And it was just it was not good. And trying to care for a newborn and a nearly 3-year-old at the time as well. So, yeah, it wasn't fun.
Wow. What was it like trying to look after the newborn with the hand pain?
Very difficult. So because I couldn't, my hands were frozen. Like I had a lot of trouble simply like changing nappies and things like that. I used to have to, you know, pick the little nappy tabs off with my teeth and kind of just pat them back down with my hands. And God. I couldn't open lines and stuff in my house because they were on like a roller chain and I couldn't grip things. So, yeah, just day-to-day stuff. I guess looking back now, I probably, yeah, don't know how I kind of got through it at the time. But I guess when you're in that time of your life, you just, it's a difficult time for anyone having young kids, I think. So you just kind of get through it. So, yeah, I think I just, yeah, did what I could and tried to focus a lot of attention on getting myself better at that time, as you know, as well as looking after the kids. So,
and what did that involve? Did that involve going to the rheumatologist, or did it involve doing some research online, or what did you do?
Yes, everything. So I did see a specialist while through my pregnancy, and then I did have my first appointment post birth, about 6 weeks old. And like I said, it was very bad at that time. And I was sort of saying to the rheumatologist, you know, what can I do? Surely there's things I can do for myself to help. And he was like, nothing, there's nothing you can do. You just need to take, you need to stop breastfeeding your daughter and take methotrexate. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that because that's not how I want to, you know, bring up my children. So what are your other options? And he offered me Plaquenil, I think it was called, and said I could go on that and continue to breastfeed, but it probably wouldn't be very effective and I would, my condition would deteriorate. So he was very positive.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't get on very well, myself and the doctor. He was very dismissive of anything that I had, and I believe that I could play a part in, you know, getting myself better. And, you know, I certainly played a part in getting sick. Now I know what I know now, looking back on some of the choices that I made. So, yeah, I guess I knew that there was something I could do. So I started researching and I found your information online and your YouTube videos and your TED Talks. And I was like, well, this is Clint. He's from Sydney. I'm Brooke from Newcastle, I can do this. So I got in contact with you, and obviously because I was breastfeeding, I had to, you know, take a slightly different approach to the Patterson program. I couldn't do the fasting and follow the program strictly, but we came home one day, cleared out our pantry of anything that didn't fit in with the Patterson program protocol. We had your two cookbooks, those PDF documents on our computer, and we just, all we did was cook food out of there. That was it. That was all we ate. And I said to Clint earlier, I can remember our first meal was a potato baked in the oven in water, some steamed spinach and lemon, and my husband and I sitting down at the dinner table going, this is nice, just laughing.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
That really sticks in my memory, that first meal. But it got much better from there. That was, you know, and now, you know, we would happily sit and eat spinach and potatoes and quinoa or buckwheat for dinner every night of the week because it's amazing. But, yeah, bit of a contrast to the way we used to eat to start with.
Yeah, okay. So two things there. First of all, your husband, Ben, was happy to make these changes with you right from the start. That's first.
Yeah, he was amazing. He was super supportive, and he's like, because he could see, and I guess he was the only one really who knew how bad it was, because he's the one that would see me get up in the morning and just be, you know, nearly in tears because it felt like I had glass under my feet because it was so difficult to walk. And he was just completely on board. He was like, we'll do this together. And yeah, so he went plant-based straight away with me, and that's how we ate at home.
Wow.
So I think, to start with, you know, if he was out for work and stuff, he perhaps wasn't eating plant-based, sure. You know, but definitely at home 100%. But then for a few years now, he's been completely plant-based all the time, you know, whether he's at home or out and about, so, which is great.
Absolutely. And what about then, tell us about your symptoms and how they change with the Plaquenil combination and these whole food, low-fat dietary recipes that you were using from our materials, because as you pointed out, you know, you didn't do the elimination process, you didn't do the cleanse, the juice cleanse, and that was under my guidelines because I didn't want you to do that because you were pregnant. And so, sorry, breastfeeding right at that point,
yeah.
Breastfeeding. Okay, so we've got this delicate balance where we're trying to kind of make baby get all of the nutrition, all of the amount of breast milk in the best possible supply that we can. And we want you, who are going through a draining period where you're recovering from childbirth, you are getting very little sleep, the baby's draining from you a lot of nutrients, takes the best quality out of you through your breast milk, right? And so we also don't really want someone in that situation going through an elimination process and looking for trends with food sensitivities and things. It's just the timing's not right, okay?
No, it wasn't.
And so, but by the way, the reason I'm kind of spelling all this out, even though you and I both know this and we've communicated about this, is for listeners and viewers, because this comes up quite frequently. People who are breastfeeding, who are in a lot of pain, potentially recently diagnosed, because it happens frequently is that symptoms go crazy after childbirth. It's so common, And so this is why it's worth just elaborating on this, and this will be a great episode for me to share with anyone who's currently breastfeeding and looking at the right medication and also looking at the right way to go about it with their diet. So to go full circle back to my question, you're on a healthy diet, but you're not on the strict elimination. So how did the healthy diet and Plaquenil go for you?
So, look, I think it bought me some time and it bought me a bit of stability for a while because the diet was such a big contrast to how I had been eating previously. I definitely saw, I wouldn't say huge improvements, but definitely enough that let me know that I was doing the right thing. So I, like you said, I couldn't do the elimination and things I couldn't do, but I started every day with, you know, the celery and cucumber juice, and I incorporated heaps of greens and buckwheat into my meals as along with all the other stuff as well. I also took any supplements that were suitable. So I did some minerals, I did like your turmeric, and anything that was anti-inflammatory, I would be having along, you know, anything that I could do to help myself but fit in with breastfeeding I would do. So, look, my RA was pretty, I want to say manageable, but probably not really at that time. I just got through, did what I could, and that was, this was all in 2014. So I sort of stuck with it till Christmas, which was the December of that year, and then my health took a downward turn further. So I kind of bought myself 6 months of kind of plateauing, I think, where I just kind of got through day to day, and I knew that once I stopped feeding, then I'd have more options with what I could do. And it got to, my daughter was one and my family kind of sat me down. I was very, very thin. I'd lost a lot of weight. I guess combined breastfeeding with the diet and my health really wasn't going great. The only thing I was taking was the Plaquenil and supplements, and I occasionally would have, if I was having a really bad day, I would take some like soluble aspirin or something, because that, you know, I was trying to not take anything that would damage the gut, the health, but just something to kind of get me through. Anyway, my family kind of sat me down and said, you know, my daughter, Rose, she's one, she was thriving, she was eating 3 meals a day and, you know, all the food possible. They said, it's time for you to stop feeding her and to focus on your own health. So, yeah, I did. I took that on board, and the first thing I did was, when I stopped feeding, was follow your protocol from the start. So I went straight back to scratch with that. But I was having trouble with weight. So I was, I was underweight. So I was really trying to pack on, you know, I'm following all your advice with orange juice and all the things that I could do to boost it. And in conjunction with this, I started seeing a holistic health practitioner in Sydney who, she's a medical doctor, she's a GP, but she has a focus on nutrition, diet and lifestyle along with traditional medicine, because at this stage I was still on the Plaquenil and I'd stopped feeding, and then I saw her and I actually had one final appointment with the rheumatologist, and he said, I think you probably need to think about some methotrexate now. Because I was, and I think by that time I was tired. It was, every day was hard, and I would really, I felt like I needed a bit of recovery and a bit of space to get the fight back in me again, because I was just, I was like, this is just all so hard. So I did go on to methotrexate at that time. When the pharmacist handed me the prescription and started talking to me about it, and I was like, I'm listening to you, but I'm going to get off this, so thank you. I was like, really, from the day I started taking it, I was like, this is not forever. This is just a Band-Aid to help me regroup, get some strength back, and then, get stuck into it.
Great. One mistake that I made when I started taking methotrexate was thinking that, you know, almost like the world has ended, I finally have to take this drug that I've been trying to avoid for about a year and a half. And then thinking, well, at least that's it then. At least that's going to take care of all my symptoms. And it didn't. And that's the, this is the, you just, This disease constantly disappoints. It's like the most ultimate kick in the face day after day. And like, so did you, were you lucky? Like I was lucky and got about 60 to 70% symptom relief from the methotrexate, you know, thinking I was going to get 100. But did you get like fantastic results from it also? And did you stay on the Plaquenil?
Yeah. So I definitely didn't get fantastic results straight away. I was probably 60 to 70%. Mm. And like you, it was a very low point. I was really disheartened that it had got to this. And I was hoping that, oh, well, if at least I have to take it, it's going to be a miracle and I'm going to feel great.
Right.
So, look, I definitely did get, it took a couple of months, kind of maybe 6 to 8 weeks to try and, you know, really start to see some results. They started me on a maybe 10 milligrams. It was, yeah. was a huge wow. dose to start with.
Yeah.
And after I'd been on that for 6 weeks, they took the Plaquenil off. They said, stop doing that. And they ended up increasing the methotrexate. I think I got to as high as 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, over a period of time. But I didn't have bad side effects from the methotrexate like a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from the fatigue, it would make me every week or two, I would just be completely fine and I'd be somewhere and all of a sudden I'd go pale and green and people would start asking me if I was okay. And within about half an hour, I'd be throwing up. So it was like every couple of weeks, my body just went, whoa, and just, I was always like, I felt like I constantly had food poisoning or something.
Sure,
that So obviously the 20 milligrams was a little bit too much for me. So I dropped back and I got, you know, I got probably, I'm probably about 70 to 80% now of, at that time of feeling pretty good.
Okay.
I still continued with all my supplements. I was still following the Patterson diet.
Yeah.
But I felt there was more work to do and that's when my doctor in Sydney came into play. So we did a lot of work with gut health. She I did a lot of testing and to find out what was in my gut was good and what was bad. And we did some protocols to kill the bad stuff and feed up the good stuff and some cleansing and with supplements mainly and a lot of pre and probiotics, a lot of alkalizing, you know, your Corellas, your spirulina, that kind of stuff as well.
So
I did everything. I did have one amalgam filling in my mouth, which is part of the protocol I had removed as well. I was still grasping anything I could do to try and get.
Oh yeah, you end up having this long list of things that you thought weren't actually probably contributors, but all become things that we now want to take care of. Tell us about the functional doctor. Did they do a parasite or a bacterial herbal treatment?
Yes, yep, we did all that. Mm-hmm. I did have some parasites that were nasty. It's a protocol to kill them as well. We did a lot of work with her, and I still continue to see her. I just check in about once a year, today.
That's great. How did they identify the parasites? And do you recall which test was done or was it it might have been a stool sample, was it, for that?
Yes, it was, and it went to America, I remember. Yeah.
Was it Ubiome?
No, I don't. I can't remember now. This would have been in probably 2016, so a couple of years ago now. We did all that, and I just really trusted that she, you know, I was like, I just put my faith in her. And, you know, I wasn't seeing a specialist anymore, and I'm like, I told her, I said, you know, you've got to help me. I'm not seeing a specialist, but you're going to help me get better. Yeah. And she did as well. So that was great. I'm trying to think what else I did with her.
I want to ask you about the parasites even further because I've got some clients in my support group who are always on this parasite angle. Did you ever notice that they passed in your stool? Did you look for them in the – no? You never saw the result?
Never saw the result, but I had follow-up testing and confirmed that they were gone.
That's great.
So,
Okay. Yeah. And was the follow-up test the same, send the poo sample off to the States again? It was? Good. Okay.
We did some stuff around mold sensitivity and mold exposure testing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we did, and all this was sort of combined into this one detox protocol. And during this time I had gone back to work as well part-time and I was working in a really old building and I was, you know, really bad air conditioning where it was either boiling hot or freezing cold and lots of people sick around me and I started I think because I was still on the methotrexate at this time as well, and I'd been slowly reducing, so I was dropping back all the time under the doctor's guidance. I was going down by like 2.5 or 2 milligrams a time, and really very slowly. But I was back at work, and I kept getting sick, just picking up anything that was, you know, going around. And after I'd been back at work for 6 months, my husband and I made the decision that it really wasn't working with my health. So I left my job and decided just to stay home with the kids and focus on, just continuing this health journey to try and get rid of RA, because my symptoms were, it was just very sporadic. I definitely had pain in the mornings and, you know, stiffness in hands, and occasionally one joint would just flare up, but it was reasonably manageable at that time.
Was there anything that you felt intuitively played the biggest role, whether it be supplemental or just the ongoing discipline with your diet, or something else you haven't mentioned yet, some kind of exercise or meditation practice or something that played a really big role, and you would to be really emphasizing that if you, God forbid, had to ever go through this again?
Yeah. Well, one thing I haven't mentioned is yoga, because you had said to me, you know, Bikram yoga, go do Bikram yoga. But there was nowhere within, I think, an hour and a half drive that I could do a Bikram class at that point. So I was like, well, you know what, I can't do Bikram, but I'll just do yoga any that I can. So there was some places locally that did very gentle yoga, very restorative, which was all I could probably manage at that time anyway. And I can remember I used to drive to the classes and I couldn't hold the steering wheel properly with my hands, but I'd do this class, and then when I'd finished, I could drive home properly, and I'm like, there's something in this.
Yeah, so, that's always a great sign after a form of exercise. If you feel better like immediately afterwards, it's a no-brainer. Do that often. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was doing, you know, I was outside and I was walking and stuff like that, but I didn't have probably the capacity to do more strenuous exercise at that time. So I just stuck with what yoga I could do. And as I progressively got better with my RA, and then I exposed myself to different types of yoga and I could manage more things, I started doing, and just we started having classes around here which were heated, so not Bikram, but heated yoga classes, and I found I got great results from going to them. So over, you know, probably a 2-year period, I went from just the very gentle, soft, restorative classes to the more strength-based, dynamic, you know, vinyasa, power vinyasa classes with the heat. And, yeah, definitely huge results from doing those. So that became part of my practice. And then a Bikram studio opened locally. So I was like, yes, I can do Bikram. So when I stopped working, my new job became going to Bikram 3 times a week. So it was still a 45-minute drive from where we are. But I was like, you know, I dropped the kids off at my mum's. She was amazing. And I'd go to Bikram and do my class. And, wow, respect to anyone who does Bikram yoga. It is so hard. But it's amazing. Fantastic.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
It's all expletives and all compliments. It's everything. I just went today, actually, and come home and had to take a nap. I mean, it
never gets
easier. It doesn't get easier because, you know, because I only ever go when I've got something wrong. And then when I don't have something wrong, I don't like to go. And I've had a bad year with my left knee. It's been very, it's had terrible osteoarthritis for almost a decade since I tore my ACL and got rheumatoid arthritis and then lost all the cartilage. But I've been walking around fine on it for many of those years because I'd done so many yoga classes, right? And so I basically had a terrible knee that gave me, you know, not normal, but a pretty good quality of life without too many complaints. Until I messed it up about a year ago, coming up off the floor. And there's no room for error in that knee. I've had a lot of trouble getting it back to where it was. Anyway, a little aside there as to why I've been going a lot to yoga again recently. And yet it doesn't get easier, Bikram, because, you know, you take, like I took, like not years off, but, you know, was going infrequently. And so you feel like you're starting from scratch again. It's like, oh, man, yeah. So anyway. Anyway, I love that you got into the sort of started out with the gentle restorative yoga and then built your way into the power vinyasas, which is what my wife Melissa's into, and then also had the option with the Bikram. So Would you say that you would have been able to achieve what you've achieved with your health without the yoga?
I think it played a huge part. I really do. Apart from the physical aspect of it, I think just giving yourself some time and space in a yoga class just to focus in on yourself and, you know, try and clear your mind and that meditative aspect of your yoga practice, I think it gave definitely huge benefits.
Yeah. A lot of people are afraid to go because they either feel they might have trouble getting up off the floor, or even more frequently the concerns are their wrists hurt and they can't do downward dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
So did you avoid that circumstance by starting with the restorative and so your wrists weren't required with any pressure during that class?
So that's definitely with the restorative classes. There wasn't pressure on the wrists, but as I got further along with yoga and really just, you know, really wanting to amp it up and try and do whatever I could to help myself, I had a lot of trouble with one of my wrists in particular, and I couldn't weight bear on it. So I did yoga classes for 2 years on my forearms. I just used to put my hands on the floor every down dog. My only yoga injury has been scraping the skin on my elbows off from going from down dog in, with my hands on the floor. And I used to have to wear Band-Aids on my elbows to go to class. But I just, and, you know, I was never one to sort of announce that I had RA, and I would just say to the teachers if they said anything, I'd say I've got a wrist injury and I'm managing it. Yeah. And that was enough to... So I just used to be on my forearms in classes, and if there was things I couldn't do, I'd just, you know, go on one arm or just take the weight in the left wrist just to ease off on the right. And and I, with yoga too, it's really about what's happening on your mat. No one's really interested, you know, and I certainly was. I was, you know, fighting my own battles, so I just got in there and just did what I could. And I would encourage anyone to do the same and not worry about what you think people might be thinking, because, you know, RA is a great example of people can look really well and not be. So I think everyone's fighting their own battles. And I think, you just get on your mat and do what you can to help yourself.
Yeah, that's some good words there. Now, next train of direction here, I want to hear about how you became a yoga teacher yourself. But I also don't want to skip over something that I think I'll ask you first. You, before we began recording and also during the call a couple of times, you've sort of disconnected yourself from RA in an attitude kind of sense. Can you explain your thoughts around this disassociation with the condition and an unacceptance of having it as part of your identity, and your thoughts around how this helps?
Yeah, okay. That's a really good question. I think as I got better, you know, you can become a real victim of your illness, whatever it is. And there's definitely times when I wallowed in it for a day or two, woe is me, why me, you know, and that's okay. And sometimes that's good and it's necessary. But I just decided that, it wasn't going to ruin my life, and I had lots of fun stuff that I wanted to do, and these two beautiful children, a wonderful husband and a really lovely life, so this wasn't going to stuff it up for me. So I was going to do everything I could to be as well as I could, and I wasn't going to let it, you know, make decisions for me. I was going to control it, not it control me. So particularly in the past 12 months where I was on, at one point I was on 1.25 milligrams of methotrexate, and I'd take it once a week and I'd say to the bottle, you're not even doing anything. I'm just not ready to let go of you yet. Like it was all in my court. And I was just really mindful of maintaining a really good quality of life. I wasn't prepared just to go off methotrexate and end up where I was. I was determined to, you know, maintain a really good health for my family and for myself. So, I just say to myself, I don't have RA. Just occasionally I get a sore wrist or a sore hand. So I just, I don't own it. I'm like, I don't have RA. I just, occasionally have little flare-ups in life and I get on with it.
Yeah, I love it. I've had the same sort of attitude. And like you say, we recall times when you wake up and it's impossible to say, I don't have RA.
Absolutely.
And in those days, you know, like you say, those days we're not morons and tell ourselves something that isn't the case.
Yeah.
We, you know, work through those days and then we move towards better days and we continue to push forward towards the days where, like you said, you're on virtually none of the drug, and you're saying, look, I don't even have any association with you. You're not doing anything. And I'm just, not quite ready because I'm cautious and I'm in control.
Yeah.
You came off that medication 5 or 6 months ago. Is that right? Completely. Yeah. You got down from 1.25 and you hung there for a while and then you just said, okay, that's it.
So it was very gradual. Like I said, it took me, so I was on methotrexate for a total of 4 years, and for probably over half of that time, I was on less than 10 milligrams. So it took me a really long time to taper off. And like I said, I was chopping the 2.5 milligram tablets in half to have, and that was probably spent 4 months on the 1.25 milligrams, and I probably could have gone off it sooner, but a lot was happening in life, and I know that stress can play a huge part in your RA, so I was really very cautiously went off it. And I'm stoked. April was my last methotrexate, so 5 months in, and I have had it, and I took the rest of the pills back to the chemist, where you return, unwanted medicines. I'm like, I don't need this anymore. Took it back, which was a really great feeling. And I just think the mind is really powerful. And, if you just say to yourself, I don't have RA, I just think it has an impact. I feel like it has to. So,
it has to. And I think that the reason that it seems silly when we say things that other people would clearly argue is not the case is because we are saying it not to to try and twist the truth at that time, but to try and establish a better future, right? It's about incantation, and the repetition now can create the state at a later point, just creating those neuro pathways in our brain about what is and what is our reality. But my whole thing was, pain-free, drug-free, back to massive energy. And over and over again, I had a dance around it. I would put movement to it and I'd be pain-free, drug-free, back to massive energy, pain-free. And I would say it awesome. And go over it all the time, while I especially did my elbow pumps, right? So I'd move my elbows like crazy to get a lot of just some fluid flow through my stiff and sore elbows. And I'd just say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Yeah, I mean, if you do it by yourself in private, you don't look like a lunatic, and you you can influence the future just ever so slightly towards the way that you want it to be.
Absolutely. Even writing yourself like I've got some little notes written, and I've got them stuck, next to my bathroom mirror where I brush my teeth, in the mornings and the evenings, and it's just stuck, some little things stuck there. And I just think, if you read it, it's in writing, I think it's really powerful, when it's something about putting something in writing as well, like when you write it down, it's like, that's definitely happening.
Absolutely. So, couldn't agree more. I host a conference for a hair company. I've hosted the conference for them 9 times over a 10-year span. So it's their annual event. And the CEO of this particular company, when he gets up and he gives his presentation each year to all of the franchisees, it's not, look, here are the statistics, here's what we're trying to achieve next year, everything like that. Okay. He gets up and he says, this is how you got to talk to yourself every day. And he just talks about incantations. He talks about visualization of the future. And his whole talk is about self-talk to yourself, because his whole success isn't from a university education. It's not from any particular MBA that he's done, or it's because he believes in himself and he talks to himself like a successful person. And it's an enormous company. And and that's his talk every year. It's like,
that's awesome.
Wake up and tell yourself in the mirror that you're a winner, because you are a winner. You own a franchise. You're self-employed. People love your store, it's just very refreshing to see that approach from a very senior executive.
Yeah, and I think realizing that you are in charge of your own health, like there are these doctors and specialists, and they have certain tools that they can offer you, but they don't have all the tools. Like you've got a lot of them yourself. So just realizing that your health is in your own hands, and you can make some amazing choices and decisions that can really help you so much, and no one can give them to you. No doctor. They don't come in a packet. And like I said, the rheumatologist and I didn't have a very good relationship. He was very negative about my future as an RA patient. The initial testing they do with the rheumatoid factors, mine were off the charts. They were like the strongest, the highest numbers you could have, the most concrete proof that you have RA and you're going to be a very sick person. That was, you know, I can remember once, you know, having a really bad day and having an appointment and sort of saying to him, like, how bad does this get? And he's like, in your case, really bad.
Mm.
And like, I just remember that's like so deflating. And I was like, oh man, no, I'm not listening to you. You can't know everything. I just didn't believe. But I knew that there was something that I could do to help. And yes, on my own. I had, you know, yourself and lots of wonderful people that, you know, offered advice and support and help. But yeah, you just got to build your own little toolkit of people and things that work for you. And everyone's different. You know, what works for one person probably doesn't for another. We've all got to make our own little tweaks to things.
Yeah, that's really important. Absolutely. I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with. Is that this isn't, for example, like you're just buying like a Jenny Craig system and the food gets sent to your house and you unpackage meal plan number one on Monday morning. It's not like that. This is a lot of self-discovery and
it's hard work.
Oh, yeah.
It's not easy. It is not easy. It's not easy. And, you know, sometimes people will talk to me now about, you know, just through, you know, being a yoga teacher, and people will talk to me and say they have RA. And, you know, I'll say to people, you can help yourself, but you've got to want it. You've got to want it. You've got to want it for yourself more than you want to take that pill. You have to. It takes commitment and energy. And, yeah, it's not an easy path, but the rewards are so great at the end of it.
It's not easy, is it? No, it's enormously challenging, and that's right. Yeah, and a little thought to everyone who's trying their little hardest at the moment, and still on that path to trying to get well, because you know your story has such a great ending to it, and a lot of people are working so hard and they haven't got there yet, and that's what these interviews are for, and that's why I'm so grateful for you to come on and share your story, because there's going to be a clue in something you've said, whether it be maybe they need a parasite test, or maybe they really got to get back into the yoga class, or maybe they've just, you know, got to go and get on methotrexate if they've been trying to put up with so much pain for so long, because it offers that inflammation suppression which we need to be able to then heal our gut.
Absolutely.
So, yep. Or a number of dozens of different things that you've said that could be the next step for someone on their path and for them to eventually improve.
Yeah, and I don't want – I think I felt like a bit of a failure for having to go on the methotrexate. There was definitely a point, and I would, you know, say to anyone, like, you're not a failure. You're just using the tools that you have available to get better. And, you know, and you've said in your podcast that I've listened to, you can do so much healing whilst on the appropriate drug. So, like, while you're on the methotrexate, it can give you, and like it gave me, just that bit of strength just to keep going, because, you know, I needed it. Life sucked, really. Like, every day was hard. And then once I got on that and I did get, you know, it wasn't a miracle. It didn't make me, didn't cure anything. But it just gave me some space to breathe and not be in pain constantly, when I could then continue to do the work that I needed to do to get off it and get better. So I think, it's okay. There's a time, there's a place for them. I'm not anti-drug. It's just time and a place. And
absolutely,
stuff that is gonna not help you. You know, like, you know, you talk about your prednisones and stuff like that. Like, stay away from the stuff that isn't going to let you heal while you're taking it, and just find the stuff that does and just keep working.
Absolutely. Yep. Perfect. Now, you've got your yoga teacher qualification. Where did you get that done?
Long story short, whilst I was going to yoga, I was traveling, you know, 40 minutes, half an hour to go to classes, and then a studio opened locally within a 5-10 minute drive from my house. So I started going there, and I was stoked that I had a place so close to home. My family started going. Then I wrote my husband into yoga as well, because he wasn't doing yoga at that point. And we just loved it. We started going there flat out. Like, we were like, you know, the frequent flyers. We were there every day, good morning, for yoga. And the studio wasn't open for a great length of time, maybe 12, 18 months, and the owners decided to close. And we were like, no, what are we going to do? We were, you know, so used to having yoga so close to home. So I'd left my job and I was at home with the kids, and we just really randomly, not something that I'd ever planned to do is have my own business, we just decided to open the studio so that we could have somewhere to go to yoga. The teachers that had been teaching there, who we built these beautiful friendships with and were all so wonderful, that they had somewhere to continue to be able to, you know, teach yoga. So we just decided to do it. So that's what we did. So my husband was still working at that point in his job full time. And yeah, I opened the yoga studio, and I wasn't a yoga teacher. I didn't want to be a yoga teacher. I just managed the studio and just got it open and kept it running. So I just would, yeah, do all the reception and all the things, the cleaning, the, yeah, anything that I could do just to make it a great place to be. And that was nearly 3 years ago now. And then about 7 months in, I realized that whilst I had been doing yoga for a number of years now, and I'd learned a lot, I just had an urge to know more about it. I wanted to know, you know, I was spending all my days talking to people about yoga, emailing people about yoga, and I was like, I feel like I needed a bit more behind me than just a keen student to kind of, yeah, you know, back up what I was saying and share, you know, how great it was with people. So I decided to do my teacher training. So I did that, in 2017. I did my teacher training. And, yeah, I was a very reluctant yoga teacher. I was just I would only like do classes when a teacher would ring me like half an hour before the class saying they got a flat tire and they weren't going to get there, and I was like, oh no, well, I guess I'll have to teach. So I would just sort of step in and teach the class and be like, oh, this is awful. It's just anyway. And then so I don't know, just gradually people started, you know, saying, oh, when are you going to take your own classes and not just fill in? We really like having you as our teacher. And I think I just got more confident in what I was doing, and I was like, all right, it's time. So yeah, I started teaching.
Yeah.
And then my husband did his teacher training as well. So yeah.
And now you're both full time in the Yoga Place Blacksmith, yeah? Yoga studio. Fantastic.
And then 4 months ago we opened a plant-based cafe adjacent to our studio. So yeah, there was a space next to the studio that had been used as a cafe previously, and it had been empty for some time. And again, it's funny, RA, the worst and best thing that ever happened to me. It certainly changed our lives in a direction that it would never have gone in. And this is just another, you know, we're just going with the journey of, yeah, sharing the great news of yoga and plant-based eating with people. So that's where we are now.
How's the cafe come along in those 4 months?
Yeah, wow. Really busy. I've never worked in hospitality before. I've never run a cafe or worked in a cafe. I did work at McDonald's when I was 14 in high school, and that's the extent of my hospitality experience. So it's been a huge learning curve. There's been days where I'm like, oh, I don't think I can do this. It's just hard. you know, combining the studio and the cafe, you know, and family life as well. But yeah, we've certainly got it running, you know, yeah. Getting easier every day, and we're learning so much, and it's been really well received by the local community. It's a really nice outdoor space, so there's a beautiful garden, so you get to eat, you know, your food sitting outside in the sun. Yeah, it's got a really beautiful, that feeling of the yoga studio, that, you know, that nice, comfortable, safe space has really just transferred over into the cafe. So, like, people will come to the cafe and they'll be there for 3 hours. People just don't leave. They just sit down, they grab a cushion, they just relax, and that's them. They just hang out, which is beautiful. We just love that. We've just created a space where people feel really comfortable. And enjoy all our plant-based food. So
yeah, wow. Yeah. Huge contribution back after you've, you know, been in so many challenging circumstances, and then you've put in the very, very long and arduous process to try and get well, which has obviously paid huge dividends, using all of the tools available to the drugs and the rheumatologists and your functional medicine and your plant-based guidelines around Patterson program and your exercise and your, you know, your mindset tools around I don't have RA, I'm getting well. And, you know, you've applied the whole spectrum of things that I also feel that I experienced benefit from as well. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that you've had tremendous success, but at the same time, it comes with a huge admiration of the amount of effort that goes into it. It's no one gets well easily. It is tremendously difficult. So you've done fantastic. And I know that coming on this podcast was not something that you immediately jumped at the opportunity, but with a little bit of persuasion from your husband and myself, and we said, look, if you can share and give back a little bit, then that would be wonderful. But you didn't have to, but you've said, yeah, let's do it. And I'm very, very grateful about that. And I'm sure the comments that we're going to get and the feedback on email and the comments on YouTube and Facebook are going to be fantastic for what you've shared today.
Oh, thank you. And yeah, like I said, you were a huge, huge instigator in me getting well. Like just finding, you know, before I found your program, I dabbled with lots of, you know, what else could I do? But what was so great, it was just so clear and simple because I didn't have capacity to think. I was, like I said, everything was hard. I was tired and it was just this simple framework I could follow. It's like, it's all right, Brooke, just eat this. And I was like, okay, I can do that. And I think that was what, yeah, it made it so easy to follow. I think that was a huge, yeah. I can remember seeing other practitioners and they're like, oh, you just need to do this and that. And, you know, there's an hour of a day of doing this and that. And I was like, oh, man, I can't do that at the moment. But just having this little simple system just to follow, like just eat these foods out of this cookbook. I was like, okay, I can do that. That's, you know, so it was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well done. You're very welcome. It gives me enormous joy to hear that I have helped you and given you some information that's been, yeah, able to improve your situation and your husband's and your family's so much. So it's lovely to hear. Well, thank you so much for coming on this episode. I'm going to let you get back to the rest of your day. It's Monday morning there, so I'm sure you've got lots to do. And I'll look forward to hearing how the cafe and the yoga goes over the coming years. And we'll be back in Sydney probably next year or so. So love to come up and grab some food and do some yoga sometime.
That would be amazing.
All right. Thanks so much, Brooke.
Thanks, Clint. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Pattison Program. For more information, visit pattisonprogram.com.